We're so glad that you're here today as we celebrate the birth of our country, but we also celebrate Jesus, who gives us the new birth. And that's the important one, that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And whether you've been a member of this church for 70 years or whether you're just visiting with us, we're glad that each one of you are here, and we pray that just a special blessing of the Lord upon you. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house, and we thank you that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here to comfort, to guide, to strengthen. Lord, we pray for your anointing upon the service. You know the needs of every person that's here. May we hear from you. May you be glorified. And Lord, in all that we do, may we just express our love for you. Because we know that we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
First thing I want to do is what we do each beginning of each month. We want to recognize our birthdays for the month of July and anniversaries for the month of July. Our first is our birthdays will be Charles Hatley, July the 4th, a belated one. Jerry Kelly, July the 5th. Leanne Springer, July the 5th. Sue Barbie, July the 6th. Kenny Linker, July the 10th. It's Kenny. Evan Howard, July the 20th. Arden Hartzell, July the 20th. And Neil Jackman, July the 31st. And Laura Keplinger, July the 31st. Did I miss anyone? All right, then if you'll give me a key somewhere on that piano, we'll do happy birthday, all right? Oh, yeah, not that one. I could do it, but you wouldn't like it. Here we go. All right, here we go. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And our anniversaries for the month of July, Leonard and Donna Harville, July the 2nd. And yes, 56 years is how long we've been married. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I can't remember when I wasn't married. And so, but it's a wonderful thing. It really is. Jerry and Carol Kelly, July the 19th. How many years, Jerry?
53.
God bless you. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Now, this morning, as you know, we're celebrating the 4th of July. So to honor America, I want you all to stand. And we want to do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and then remain standing after that. We will sing America the Beautiful. First, the pledge to the flag. Attention. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. As we sing America the Beautiful, all four verses, and they'll be on the board for you to sing. Okay?
Good brotherhood from sea to shore.
Say good morning to someone and welcome to church and say happy Fourth. Good morning. I do have some announcements this morning and I want to share with you. And first I wanted to follow up on Bible school. We got some good news for you on Bible school. Aaron and the rest have decided we're going to do a one-day Bible school this time around since things are as late as they are, and it'll be Saturday, August the 7th. Saturday, August the 7th. Did you want to speak to that in any way at this point? Thank you. I appreciate that, Aaron, very much. Want to also acknowledge the fact in the bulletin this morning, you did hear the bell toll this morning, and the bell was tolling for honor to Alan Davis and in his memory. And we thank you, the family, for being here, Chris and Winter and Little Loxley. We appreciate that, Miss Betty, and we thank you for all being here, and we honor Brother Alan. If there's one thing I knew about him, that bell had to be up there and it had to ring. And so we're just glad to do a little part. And thank you, Gary, for handling that as well. The announcements that we have this morning is pretty much we're going to continue on with the same schedule that we're doing. And that is you're going to be here at 9 o'clock for Sunday school. I'm enjoying Sunday school again, aren't you? I really am. I think it's wonderful. And to be back in Sunday school and enjoying Sunday school at 9 o'clock for Sunday school and then 10 o'clock for worship as we're doing. And don't forget, we will be able to have still the webcast, thanks to Wes and his hard work that he does. And also we'll be have in the parking lot, should there be some that might want to still do that, you can do that as well. So anyway, it's good to have you this morning. It's good to see this number this morning for church. And so don't want you to forget Wednesday night service is still going strong, and we want it to be stronger, right, Pastor? We just But he's doing a wonderful job. Our pastor is in every Wednesday night. And so you all come and be part of that too. Choir rehearsal, and I'm looking forward to getting choir again, aren't you?
Amen.
And I'm just wanting to get the choir going. So it's July the 11th, and pass the word. We need everybody to be here, and we're looking forward to having it. It's going to be good, so be sure to do that. That's all the announcements I have. Does anyone have anything you want to add to the announcements? Yes, ma'am.
The singing of Americans will be singing this afternoon, a patriotic program.
Oh, okay.
At 4 o'clock at Pleasant Grove.
Pleasant Grove, yeah, okay.
So I'm hoping some of the people of my church will go. Yeah.
What time was 4 o'clock?
4.
I hadn't seen that, so thank you. I would like to do that. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anyone else? Yes, Kenny. All right. Kenny would like to meet with the nominating committee right after service. And so, again, don't go that way. Come this way and make sure you see Kenny. And he'll smile, won't you, Kenny? Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate the job that these committees are doing. I really do. All of them back to working again, and it's a wonderful thing to see. Wonderful thing to see. All right. Any other announcements? If not, I'm going to go into the prayer request this morning. I didn't have anyone give me any special prayer request this morning. There's a lot of things we're still praying for. There are a lot of our prayer request is on the web as well, and it's still active. But does anyone have anything, anyone you'd like to add to the prayer request this morning? Kathy.
My nephew, Nicholas Carpenter, he is doing fine.
Nicholas Carpenter. Okay.
He'll be going on our trip with us next week.
Okay. Well, we better pray for some traveling mercy for you and Robert. And y'all going to be in an RV? Is that right?
We're going to be in a truck with the RV behind.
Take my truck. Yeah.
So who's going to be in the RV and who's going to be in the truck?
I may be in the RV. That's
I'm probably going to be asleep on the couch.
All right. Okay. I'm on a teaser right about that. I want to tell you, we wish you safety. We do wish you safety.
He's going to be in the Ford. He needs prayer.
Get a Chevy Dodge. Okay.
He's only got 60,000 miles.
All right. Oh, my goodness gracious. I started something, didn't I? I'm always the one to start. But we do. Seriously, we wish you traveling mercy. Enjoy your vacation. Enjoy. Anyone else? Prayer request this morning.
Roy Dutton.
Okay.
Roy's in his last days.
All right. Okay. Anywhere else? Lionel, would you lead us in prayer this morning, Lionel, please? Yes. Thank you, Lionel. We have something special for you today. I had a dream, and of having an all ladies quartet, And I sing in an all-male quartet, so I thought how wonderful it would be if we had an all-ladies quartet in Barber's Grove. And so I sat down and I sent out four requests to four different people, and I got a yes on all four quickly, so I know it's God's will for this to happen. And so, ladies, I want you to come on up here and be part of this quartet with Miss Kathy, Pam, Tonda, and Rita. You can give them a hand of encouragement as they come up if you want. They're going to sing a song that I do truly love. So, Tonda, I'll let you introduce the song or someone, whoever's going to speak for them.
Yes, a very pretty song, one of my favorites. And when Leonard sent it, I thought, well, if Leonard thinks we can do this, we can definitely do this. With the Lord's help, we're going to get this done. I don't even know what page we are, girls.
91.
Okay. So, yes, a beautiful song. Wesley and Angie were so kind to come out and meet us Friday night so that we got to rehearse it, and they were our audience. And they said we passed. They said it was good. So we'll see what happens today. We're excited about it.
And Jeff has got a visual that's going to go with along with it, so you guys can enjoy.
Yes, and y'all just pay attention to that if we're not doing real good.
Yeah, if you get tired of looking at us, you can look at the picture. So thank you, Jeff, for your help with that.
We need a distraction, but we need a distraction. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Here we go.
Deep within the heart has a
Thank you, ladies. We appreciate that so much.
Amen.
I got two requests. I want y'all to sing again.
Yeah.
And the second one is this. Don't forget us when you get on the Gaither program. Okay. It's amazing. 4 years ago on July the 2nd, I came out here to preach a trial sermon to be your interim, and here I still are. So I didn't think it'd gonna be that long. You didn't either, but this is the way it's worked out. Today, let's talk a little bit about what the Bible says, what God says about how a nation can be blessed. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. And we're going to talk about the way God can bless a nation. Before we get done, we're going to do a little history. And in verse 11 of Psalm 33, it says this: "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Basically, that says that whatever God said, however God expressed himself, whatever rules, regulations, laws, suggestions, commandments that God gave is forever. The word of the Lord stands sure. The word of the Lord stands forever. God's word doesn't change. So whatever God said, whether it was 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, still is in effect today. God's word, he says, the counsels of the Lord standeth how long? Forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generation. With that in mind, look at the next verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom God, he hath chosen for his own inheritance. He says very simply, the nation who chooses to make God their Lord, not just any God, not just some God, not just many gods, but the one who chooses Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nation that chooses to make him their Lord, their God, and to follow him, he says, what? Is a nation that shall be blessed. Now you know that just like with a quarter, there's two sides to it. So if you flip that over, a nation that chooses to reject God, to have nothing to do with God, to have many gods, is a nation that's not going to be blessed. It's very simple. God says, you choose me, and I choose you, and their blessings is going to come. You reject me, you reject my ways, you choose to follow other gods, and the blessings are going to depart. Now let's go over to the book of Proverbs, to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. And verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Isn't that plain? Isn't it clear? Isn't it unmistakable? A nation that is striving to live in a righteous and godly way will be exalted. Exalted means to lift up, to be blessed, to be placed higher. He says, whenever you choose to live in a righteous and in a godly way, God's going to lift you up. God's going to bless you. God's going to make you greater. Now, the converse is also true, the reverse. A nation that decides that sin and lawlessness, okay, I'll get it out there in a minute, lawlessness, unrighteousness, that nation is not going to be exalted, it's going to be put down. It's true one way, it's true the other way. The kind of life that we choose to have in our nation is the kind of life that we're going to have. We get to make a choice. We can choose to honor the Lord. We can choose to reject the Lord. We can choose righteousness or we can choose evil. In either case, we get what we choose. Now, those two scriptures that we just looked at tell us a whole lot about our current situation in America. It's not real good. It's not very good. There are things in our nation that break our hearts, your heart and my heart. There are things that we see on the news that we think, how can this be? Because of the choices that have been made in this nation. Let's look at another scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now this is when the children of Israel were just about to go into the promised land. And Moses gathers them together and sort of has a farewell address. Some final instructions. And they're not just from Moses, they're from God. And God says, Moses, you go and tell the people these things that they need to know about their life in the promised land. And notice as you begin verse 1 of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, it shall come to pass if, notice that, that's one of the biggest words in the whole verse, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now that's a strong phrase. Not just listen, but listen diligently. That means to pay close attention, to take it to heart, to strive to do what God says by his voice. If you listen carefully. And then he says, to observe and to do all of his commandments. Observe, to know, to do all of his commandments. Now, do you understand the word all? All of God's commandments? Not the ones I like. There was a guy, I think his name was Marcion, you know, back about 300 AD or something, you know, a long time ago. And he took the Bible and he cut out all the places he didn't like. I wonder what it looked like. I'm sure there's probably some if I could get on the internet and go to all the trouble, I could finally find what it looked like. But, and there are people like that. Well, I don't like this verse, and I don't like that verse, and I don't think that means that, and times have changed. And, you know, God says, hearken diligently, observe, do all of my commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on. Now, since I've been talking about this, he says, you observe, you do it, and this is what's going to happen. The Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Isn't that awesome? God says, you listen to me, you do things my way, and there'll never be a nation as blessed as you will be. Now that's awesome. You think of all the multiple numbers of nations in the world, and God says, I'm going to make you greater than all of them. And at one time, that was the United States of America. Now, he's talking Israel there. But in American history, there's never been a nation like America with the freedoms that we've had. There's never been a nation like America that flooded the world with missionaries. Even though today other nations like Brazil are sending out multiple missionaries, nobody has sent people to tell about Jesus around the world like the United States of America. Nobody like America has ever been as giving as we have been. How many billions and probably trillions of dollars, what was it, some of you historians, was it the Marshall Plan after World War II where we helped rebuild Europe? And every time there's a typhoon, a earthquake, a hurricane that destroys a part of the world, who's right there to help? American Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse, Christian organizations. God says, listen, I can make you the most blessed nation in the world if you will follow me, if you will put me first. And notice, I love verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. He said, and he's going to, in a minute we're going to look at what the blessings are. But he said, these blessings are going to come to you and they're going to overtake you. That means they're going to chase you down. Think about it. God says, I've got some blessings that you're going down the road and they're going to chase you down to make sure you get them. Isn't that great? God has so many blessings he wants to give. He said, I'll even chase you down to give you the blessings if you'll put me first. Now, that's a win-win proposition, so to speak. I can't lose. That's a guarantee. God says, I will chase you down with blessings. Now, we're going to start at verse 3. I'm going to read a number of verses about the blessings of God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, your kids, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish this as thee as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Notice, God says, I'm going to bless you and bless you and bless you, going in, coming out, wherever. In any way that you go, God says, I am going to bless you. That is wonderful. That is awesome. That is a tremendous promise of God to us. You know, the Bible says God's no respecter of persons, so that which he would have promised Israel, he also promises to us. If we will put him first, God says there is no limit to the blessings that he will give us. In every area of our individual lives and in our national lives. And you know, if you know your Bible history, how that worked for hundreds and hundreds of years. When Israel exalted God, blessings came and victory in battle came. I mean, you know, Joshua and his army just walked around Jericho and the walls fell. Gideon took 300 men out and defeated 110,000. David and his mighty men won battle after battle. Jehoshaphat sent the choir out, and the three enemy armies killed each other, and all the choir and the soldiers that trailed along behind the choir had to do was just pick up all the loot. And yet, there were times when Israel worshiped Baal and all those other false gods, and they took it on the chin. Droughts and famines and all kind of pestilences came. Enemy armies invaded and took what was theirs. It was proven true over and over and over again that when they did it God's way, they were blessed. Today, you know, if you read the papers and the news, that the historical revisionists try to downplay all that went on in the beginning of our nation. Now, let me say this. Those men and women that founded our nation, none of them were perfect. And if anybody here thinks you're perfect, I want you to come down and repent for lying in a minute. And you know, we all are imperfect. And they were men and women of their times. They did some things that we wouldn't do today. But those men and women, many of them loved God. Don't let the revisionist tell you different. I'm going to read you some things. I don't usually read anything much to you except from the Bible. But I want to read you some things. Anybody remember the Mayflower? Any of y'all own it? The Mayflower Compact. And I won't read all of it. And it's got the names of all the men that signed it. But here's part of what it said. Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. What'd they say? They wanted to honor their king. They wanted to honor God. They wanted to advance the Christian faith. Don't let anybody tell you that the early days, Christianity was not a part of it. Let me read you something else. Anybody remember George Washington? Here's a prayer that was in his journal. The founding father. Here's a prayer that was in his journal. O eternal and everlasting God, increase my faith in the sweet promises of thy gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings. Direct my thoughts unto thyself, the God of my salvation. Teach me how to live in thy fear, labor in thy service, ever to run in the ways of thy commandments, and make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, nor the unwillingness to depart this life may cast me into a spiritual slumber. But daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Bless my family, friends, and kindred. Wow. Sound like a believer to me. Amen. Sound like somebody who wanted to live for Jesus. Sound like somebody that expected to go to heaven because of his relationship with Jesus. Samuel Adams was another one of the founding fathers. Here's something that he said. The liberties of our country, the freedom of our civilization, are worth defending at all hazards, and it is our duty to defend them against all attacks. We've received them as fair inheritance from our worthy ancestors. They purchased them for us with toil and danger and expense of treasure and blood, transmitted them to us with care and diligence. It will bring an everlasting mark of infamy on the present generation, enlightened as it is, if we should suffer them to be wrested from us by violence without a struggle, or to be cheated out of them by the artificial things of false and designing men. They didn't say anything much about the Lord, but he says, we need to be alert. We need to be alert. Think about something that Dwight Eisenhower said. Freedom has its life in the hearts, the actions, the spirits of men, and so it must be daily earned and refreshed. Else, like a flower cut from its living roots, it will wither and die. It says if we don't keep nurturing freedom, it will die. Isn't it not precious? Billy Graham said, if America's to survive, we must elect more God-centered men and women in public office individuals who will seek divine guidance in the affairs of states. Let me read maybe one more. Inside the Bible's pages lie all the answers to all the problems man has ever known. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, refresh our souls. That's Ronald Reagan. And in this little book that someone gave me a few weeks ago, there's a number of other quotes just like that. We have a great inheritance, a great heritage. We need to be careful to maintain it. We need to be praying for our nation. I've already preached from 2 Timothy. I beseech you, therefore, first of all, that prayers and intercession be made for all men, especially for kings and for all of those in authority. We need to be praying for our nation. Whether it's the mayor and council of Oakboro or Stanley County or Albemarle or North Carolina or the federal government, we need to be praying. We need to vote sensibly under the direction and leadership of the Lord. What did Billy Graham say? We must elect godly people. I guess it's been almost 50 years ago. Down in Chatham County, there was a speaker that came in and spoke to the pastors, to the association, and said, you know, if the Christians wanted to, they could take over the county commissioners and the school board in any county. All they have to do is put up some godly people and vote for them. And I don't even know but one or two of the whole crowd personally, so I have no clue about what a lot of the folks that run our county believe. But I know this, if Christians wanted it to change, we could make it change. We could make it change. It's sad that a lot of times, you know, when we have national elections, a lot of the Christians don't even vote. And then we complain. And then what the Sunday school lesson was talking about to some extent this morning. We need to be practicing holy, godly living. I don't know, I remember some movie or TV program. Get your program. Can't see the players, can't know the players without the program. It shouldn't be that way. We ought to be living in such a way that nobody would question whether or not we love Jesus. We ought to be living in such a way that there would be no doubt in anybody's mind there's a Christian. Forget this business. There's a church member. That don't mean anything. There's a Christian. There's a man of God. There's a woman of God. There's somebody that stands for what is right, no matter what. Like I talked about in the newsletter this week, sometimes you're going to get shunned for it, ostracized, criticized. But I'm a lot more concerned about one day Jesus patting me on the back and say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into thy joys of your Lord, than I am winning Man of the Year award for Stanley County. All that matters at the end is our relationship with Jesus. I cherish the heritage our nation has. Let's be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if each of us make that choice, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. Would you stand? We're going to have some quiet music. If there's someone that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to come down and share that with me. If you need to come to the altar and just talk to the Lord about something, would you do that? If there's someone here that needs to make a commitment, Lord, I want to live my Christianity, you can do that right where you are. And if nothing else, just pray for our nation. Bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here.